Today's daf in Masechet Yoma brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. What amazing words to be able to say, huh? Come on, guys. And here we are on the daf Chaf Hey. We're still holding on daf Chaf Dalet, Amud Beis, and we are two lines up from those big lines. Bameh Mefisim. So how do we do the pious? What are we wearing when we do the pious? So Reb Nachman says, you're still wearing as a Kohen your big day chol. And then if you're selected and you end up winning the pious, so then you will put on your big day kodesh. Whereas Rav Sheshe says, no. You have to be in your big day kodesh when you're actually doing the pious. So Rav Nachman amar big day chol, because the amar big day kodesh, yikeba alei zro'ot b'cham sevi avdin. The svara of Rav Nachman is, look, there's no innate issue over here. Because, I mean, you're allowed to wear your big day kuna before you actually go up to do the Avodah. And as we'll see later on, the Gemara says, listen, you know, the Torah wasn't given to Malach HaSharis. I mean, if you're going to be wearing your big dekuna, you can't wear them exactly for the time of Avodah. You put them on, you prepare for Avodah. So there's no real fundamental problem. So it becomes a question of logistics. Reb Nachman says, look, I mean, the whole idea of the pious, remember, is that we're nervous about Kohanim getting into fights, and they this is something that they're waiting, you know, the whole year to be able to get their opportunity to do Avodah. And you can imagine that there's an awful lot of tension, anxiety, and we're worried that if, says Reb Nachman, they're going to actually be wearing their big day kuhuna, then out of the sheer excitement of it, somebody's used to getting his way. If he's wearing his big day kuna, he's not going to wait for the pious. He'll just push out of there, jump in, do the avodah, shech the tamid, whatever. And before we get a chance to stop him, the guy says, ha-ha, it's already done. So if he's not wearing his begadim, so then we don't have to worry about that, because by the time he changes into begadim, we got the situation under control and we got the right going to do it. Rav Sheshe says just the opposite. If you're concerned for all of this pressure and excitement for the Avodah, so then actually it makes more sense to do it with Big Day Kodesh, because I don't think we have to worry about somebody getting out of line. I think we have to worry about the guy who was actually Zocha. I mean, this guy's been waiting all year for this minute. I can't believe it. I won. He runs up and forgets he's not dressed in his Big Day Kodesh, and he goes in and does the Avodah. And then he has a din of a czar. So it's better that he should be dressed and get ready to go. The moment that he wins, he's out flying and doing it. That makes much more sense. Says Reb Nachman, well, I'll prove it to you, that they must have been not wearing big day kuna. Because, look, it says in the Seder HaVeidah that Masrun L'Chazanim, this is talking about after doing the pious. So we're going through the Seder Hayom. In Tamid, they gave them over to the Shamashim, who were called Chazanim in those days, and Yumafshitino Tamid Bigdehem, and they would strip them of their clothes. V'lo Yaminichin Aleim Ela Michlasayim Bavad. They left on only their pants. So I'm assuming that, I mean, this means that the Kohanim that were Zocha in the pious were then given over to the people who, the valets, so to speak, who helped them get dressed, right? So given over to the Chazanim. So then apparently they were not dressed in the Big Day Kuna up until that time. There you go. Amar Avuna Bar Yehuda, Amar of Sheshes, on the contrary, it means exactly the opposite. It's talking about the ones that were not Zochet to the pious. Don't you understand? It's got to mean that. It means that we're taking off the Big Day Kodesh. Of course it means that. Okay, now, I mean, stop. I mean, think about it. If it's talking about, like you think, that the ones that were Zocha L'Pious are now supposed to be changing into their Kodesh clothes, so then this makes no sense. What do you mean we only left their pants on them? What pants? I mean, in other words, they took off all their clothes except for their Big Day Chol, so they're wearing their underpants over here. And then what are they going to do? Then they're going to put on the Big Day Kuna over their pants, and then they're going to take off their pants and put on their Kodesh pants, right? Wrong. Because we learned before that the first thing that you have to put on, if you're putting on Big Day Kuna, is you have to put on the pants first. So then how could this be referring to the way you've got it, okay? Makes no sense at all. Remember? That was either because of the repetition, that was the machlokas we had before, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokas, but the bottom line is we learned from there. Everybody agreed that you've got to put on the Bigdei Kodesh pants before you put on any of the other three begadim. So why it makes no sense that we would leave on their chol pants? That's the first thing we would take off. It's got to mean what I'm saying. It's got to mean the opposite. That when we're taking off their begadim, so we leave on their pants, meaning their Kodesh pants, put on their clothes on top of their pants, and now they can take off their pants and not be standing there naked. And then we put on their chol pants. That makes sense. So, yeah, that does make sense, you know. So how would Reb Nachman understand the Mishnah then? Because he holds that you actually are supposed to bedafka be wearing your Bigdei Chol. And he's learning that this is talking about putting on your Bigdei Kodesh, and it's in the wrong order. So the Enoch, Reb Nachman would say, okay, listen, that doesn't bother me so much. I mean, I would understand it like this. I would say, okay, Gatani, Ancho dan aleihem Bigdei Chol. So in other words, what they do is they first will put on their Mikdesei Kodesh, you see. That's the point. In other words, we're talking about over here, leave on the rest of their clothes. Then they take off their chol pants, and then the first thing they do is they put on their Kodesh pants underneath their chol clothing so they're not exposed. And then, then they took off their chol clothing, leaving on their pants, meaning their Kodesh pants. That's the point. So it's very easy to understand it. That makes a lot of sense, too. But we won't want them standing there naked. So because of that, we did it this way to preserve their privacy. Rav Sheshe says, listen, I'll prove to you that they were obviously wearing their Bigdei Kodesh, okay? Not like you're saying, because look at this price, Natanya. Lishkat HaJazit. So remember that we had the, in your map over there, we had the Lishkat HaJazit that was over on that northern side. And Kamin Basilika Gidolat, that was a large basilica. Basilica is like, you know, a large fancy building. And it had the pious going on towards the east side. It was this enormous hall. And then you had the Talmud Chacham from the Sanhedrin, who was in charge of seeing to it that the pious would go well. He would be sitting there, and he was on the Ma'arava side. So remember, if we're looking at our map, towards the left is the Ma'arav, and towards the right is towards the east. And so they're both there at the same time, but one of them is in the Kodesh part, and one of them is the, as we'll see later on, and one of them is the whole part. And then the Kohanim are sitting there, Mukafim v'omnim kimin b'chuliyar. Remember, we had this b'chuliyar a few times. We were talking about the way that the ATM machines were set up in the Azorah, and when we were doing Shkolim, so they were set up also like a min b'chuliyar, so that you can go in there and then you can walk around to whatever one of the shofarot that you need to get to. We had the Kamin B'chuliyar back in Shabbos. We were talking about going out with a B'chuliyar, which is like this brooch. It's almost a circle, but it keeps your blouse closed, whatever. But it's almost a complete circle. So they would be sitting there like in that circle. The Mumuneh was there, and he would come along, and he would take off the mitznefet from one of their heads. And that would be the sign that he's the guy that we start the pious from. So this guy would hold his mitznefes in his hand. That way we're going to get mixed up afterwards. And they start to count from him. And then they go round and round. Remember, according to the random number that was selected. So where the heck did anybody get a mitznefes from if, according to you, they were wearing Bigdei Chol, huh? I mean, Mitznefes is one of the four Bigdei Kohanim. So come on. I mean, it's clear from here that Mitznefes, but Bigdei Chol Me'ika, there's no such thing as a Mitznefes. Mitznefes is not something you refer to a guy who's wearing his sailor's hat, you know. Mitznefes is one of the Arba Bigdei Kohanim. So clearly they were wearing the Bigdei Kohanim. Says the Gemara, that still doesn't prove it. I'll tell you why. Because there certainly may have been Kohanim over there that started the day off with the mitznefes, meaning they were wearing Bigdei Kohuna. It just was not the correct Bigdei Kohuna for doing the Avodas HaTzibur in. And so we didn't have to worry about their jumping out and doing it because they weren't prepared. I mean, this is the way Reb Nachman was learning, you see. So, and I'll tell you why. Why would they be wearing? How? I mean, either it is Bigdei Kohuna or it's not Bigdei Kohuna, no? No. You see, Suppose mommy is so proud of her son, the Kohen, so that she wants to make him his special begotten. And she puts in like $20,000 into that suit, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. Absolutely perfect. And, she wants him to walk around, show off with it. But, I mean, she really makes it as Bigdekuna. She gives it to the tzibur, so it should have a din of Klei Kodesh, and everything is good. So what's the din over there? Well, Kiratani Rav Yehuda Vitema Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Kohen Shastalo Imo Kitonet, Ovedba Avodas Yochid. You can work in it if you have a private carbon to bring. You cannot do the Avodas Tzibur in it. Aha. So, if that's the case, it could be that all the Kohanim basically were coming in with mommy's clothing, which did have a mitznefet, but which nonetheless satisfies the requirement of Rav Nachman. I don't want them jumping up and doing the tamid before they're really dressed. And okay, great. They can't. As far as the tamid is concerned, it's basically big day chol. Now, let me just interrupt here for one moment, because I just got a phone call from Rabbi Kaplan. And I asked him to just make, I told him I wouldn't answer, but to remind me in the middle of Shir so that we could mention that when it comes to Shavuos, we have there's two programs for getting money to people for Shavuos. People who literally don't have what to eat. So Rabbi Kaplan gives out coupons that are redeemable only in special stores that he's arranged with, that they can get food. And those coupons he gives out to the people that he knows simply won't have what to eat. Then he's got another program for people who are pressed financially, but who are not going to be in the coupon level. But what he does is something very beautiful. He does this specifically on Erev Shavuos. So he tells people that they can come in. He has a place where they can start learning on Erev Shavuos. And for every hour that they learn, he gives them a certain amount of money towards their su'udah. Many people sit there and will learn for 4 hours, 5 hours on Erev Shavuos. So it's a beautiful thing because usually you don't have time to learn. So he creates a special Erev Shavuos Kaila. So he has two completely different programs. He ends up putting in like $100,000 for Shavuos because of these two programs. So he says those people who want to give to the coupons, fine. Those people who want to specify that they want to give for people who are sitting and learning on Erev Shavuos and have a schus in the Torah as well. Also, but he's asking if possible to please participate. So take that into consideration. And I said to him, we just had the Gemara in the Shkolim. You're not supposed to be matriach on the tzibur more than three times a year. So he says, yes, but the Rabbeinu Bacha says in Emor that you have to look at Shavuos as being the equivalent of 7 day long as a yontiv because it has tashlumim kol shiva, and the Torah wants you to care for the poor on Shavuos specifically. So he wasn't ready to be mekabel that. He says, okay, fine. I'll pass it along. All right. So anyway, anybody who'd like to be involved in either of those programs, please let me know either personally on the DAF WhatsApp, and I'll take care of it for you. This way I get to see Richie once every 3 years or so, right? I mean, he's got to pay up the Rabbi Kaplan funds at one point or another.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Richie, I'm coming today to collect from you. We'll have a chayim for the art site, and then go pick up the check or the cash.
For Rabbi Kaplan.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
If I do it by wire,
Richie, whatever is good. Okay, let's get moving. Thank you.
Omer Abaye.
Omer Abaye. So anyway, I want to point out over here, once you brought up this braita, that there's two things I learned from here. Namely, that the Lishkat Agazit must have been Chetzya B'Kodesh and V'Chetzya B'Chol. It had, some of it was for doing the pious in, and that's in the Kodesh, and some of it, which says Talmidei Chachomim were sitting there, that must have been B'Chol, because you're not allowed to sit. And Shema Amina, furthermore, I now understand that it was constructed with two doors. Shnei Petachim Ayula must have had two main doors. One of them went into the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Azora, and one of them opened up into the Harabayit. And I'll tell you why. Because Yitzhak had to Kula B'Kodesh, if you're going to tell me that the entire Lishkas HaGazis was in the area that was Mekudash, how could the Braisa say that the Zaken, who was in charge of making sure that the pious was done correctly, that he was sitting on the western side of it, if we know that the din is, V'yamamar, Ein yeshiva ba'azara l'malchei beit David bilvad. So if you have the kedushata azara, you're not allowed to sit, right? On the other end, if you're going to tell me, okay, fine, so maybe it was all built in an area that was chol. No, because if it was b'chol, how do you explain the fact that we did the pious in the Mizrach when the main reason for doing the pious was for what? As we learned yesterday, Bebet Elohim Nahalech Baragash. So we're there in order to create that sense of movement and excitement in the Beis HaMikdash. And if it were not in the Beis HaMikdash, you're certainly not going to be Mekayim that. Veleka. So obviously there must have been split into sections. Furthermore, I also learn out that there must have been two doors. Because where exactly was it open to? Do you think, if it only had one door, was it opened into the Azora? But the din is then that the Zaken would not have been allowed to sit. Because how could it say Zaken Yoshe B'Marava if the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, this is one of Moshe's favorites, says that Halishakot Habnuyot Bechol Ubtuchot Lachodesh Tochen Kodesh, that if they're built as chol area, if the door opens into the Kodesh area, then they have a din of Kodesh. There it's the Gabia Achilas Meiser and so on, but fine, but over here it's the same halacha. And if you're going to tell me there was only one door and it was open into the area that wasn't Kodesh, then how were we able to do the pious in the east? Because the whole point of the pious was B'nuyot HaKodesh had to be done in B'Beit Elohim. And that same Mishnah Maaser Sheni says that B'nuyot HaKodesh U'B'tuchot L'chol, even if it was Kodesh in terms of where it's located, if the doorway only opens up to an area that is not Kodesh, then the inside would be chol, and then you were not going to be able to be Mekayim then Beit Elohim Na'alech Baragash, because it wasn't in the Beit Elohim. Therefore, I conclude, says Abaye Shema Amina, it's got to be that there were two doors, one of them patuach b'kodesh, one of them patuach b'lachol. Which brings us to our kapitan.
Why am I thinking of revolving doors?
Man, that's only for people who don't stay up during the daf yomi. It's in your mind. Otherwise, the other name for those revolving doors are windmills. Indeed. Thank you, Sir Capitan. So, the Pious Hasheni, it's quite amazing, I must tell you, the brilliance of Zoom. I mean, I don't know how they do this. I guess it's an AI program. But they got Doc right next to Richie so that Richie really feels that he's being snipped at his heels here. You notice that he does the job much better when Doc is next door, right? So I don't know how they do it. We got to talk to Danny about this. It's obviously it's absolutely brilliant programming. So anyway, we're up to the Pious Hasheni. We finished the Pious Harishon. And now we get up to... We're finally finished with that big sugya that we had, right, with the all of the different dinim of how do we do truma sadesh, notzah sadesh, and so on and so forth. And now the second pious is a big pious because it defines a lot of things. It tells us, mi shochet, so who does the shechita of the carbon tummy? Who's going to be zurek the dam of the carbon tummy? Note that there's something very conspicuously missing. Who's going to be makabel the dam of the carbon tummy? Doesn't say. Who's the Kohen who's going to be zoche to go into the Heichal, clean off the Mizbeach HaZahav for the Ketores that will be brought later? Who's going to clear out the ashes from the lamps of the menorah? And who gets to bring up the different parts of the Korban Tamid onto the Kevesh? We'll see that there's a separate Aveda of taking it up from the Kevesh onto the Mizbeach. We do it in two sections, which the Gemara is going to discuss later why we do that. Now, once we're telling you, I want you to know how many different Kohanim are going to be involved in bringing up the various Evarim. So we've got one Kohen that's going to be carrying up the Rosh of the Karban Tamid together with the right Regel. The Regel refers to a hind leg. We refer to a front leg as a Yad, obviously, because it's the same basic structure of all vertebrae. So we call that hands and feet, even though in English we don't make that distinction. We call them both feet. So over here, whenever we use the word regel as opposed to yad, we're talking about a hind leg by definition, so I'm not going to mention that anymore, right? Okay, so you've got the Rosh, and we're going to see this regel is the right regel. There's another Kohen, so that's Kohen number one. There's another Kohen who's carrying the two hands. Then there's a third Kohen that is carrying the rear section, the oketz, together with the left regel. We talked about the right regel before it came up with the Rosh. Then a fourth Kohen is carrying the chazeh, which is the breast, the area that faces downwards as the animal walks, and together with the neck, the hagerah. And then there's a fifth Kohen that's carrying the sides, the two sides. This is a small animal, remember. And we've got a sixth Kohen who is carrying the kravayim. Now, that Kohen, he's not really carrying the kravayim. This is the Kohen that washed out the kravayim, because obviously they need washing, and he is carrying them in a bowl. He's not carrying them the way the other Kohenim were carrying actually large pieces of meat in their hand. He's carrying a bowl that contains the kravayim. A seventh one comes and carries along the minchas seiles that is brought as part of the nesachim. And then we interrupt between, it's interesting, between the solas part of the mincha and the yayin part of the mincha by bringing, by a number eight, he brings the Kohen Gadol's chavitim. Because obviously, the Kohen Gadol presents chavitim, but the Kohen Gadol doesn't put it on the Mizbeach unless he specifically wants to. I mean, he pays for it. So another Kohen, number eight, is carrying the chavitim, and then a ninth Kohen carries the yayin, which was part of the solas, really. And that means that we have 13 different Kohanim that were zocha in this single pious. So we had nine Kohanim that were carrying all of these things. We've got the one who was Shaychet the Tamid, the one who was Zarek the Tamid, the Medashen Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Medashen HaMenorah. Says the Gemara, you didn't make it clear. How do we do this? Do we do a separate pious for each one of these stages? Or like, do we just select one Kohen and then we say, continuing, moving on from that Kohen, we will then call him coin number one, then one next to him is coin number two, and so on and so forth, in a counterclockwise direction, and that's how they will be zoicha.
So could Rebbe explain Ben Azai? I didn't understand Ben Azai.
What?
In the Mishnah. Amar Ben Azai, Lifnei Rebbe Kiva.
Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped it. That's what you're trying to tell me. Okay. Amar Ben Azai, Lifnei Rebbe Akiva, Mishum Rebbe Yoshua. The way that you described the Holachas Eivorim is not correct. And actually, the Eivorim were brought up in the same order that they would be moving if the animal were alive and walking. Derech Hilucho Hayakarev. So it was brought in the same way that it would walk if it were alive. And therefore, the Gemara is going to go through what the difference would be in Ben Azai's approach as opposed to the Tanakhama. We'll see that there's actually many other approaches in the Gemara. So now the Gemara wants to know Ibarlo. So how do we do it? So do we do only the pious for the first thing, and then after the Shechita Satamid, we then simply keep going around? Okay, you're coin number two, you get to do the next thing, and you're coin number 13, and you get to do the next thing. Odil melechol avodava vadayim efaisim. Tashma. Arba payasot hayasham. The Mishnah said before there were four payasot, and only four. I mean, if according to you, Isal Kadaitach, that we did a separate payas for each one of these things, I mean, there's a heck of a lot more than four. I mean, this one's got 13 right over here, right? So it must mean that there was only one payas, and then all the other people were selected by that pious. That doesn't mean anything, says Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak. I mean, what it means is there were four separate times in the day that they got together for a pious. How does that mean that necessarily there wasn't? Maybe there were 13 different piyusot in this made-up pious, so to speak. Maybe that's what it means. So it means arba pe'amim nichlasim lafis, but each one of those times that they got together, there may have been many, many separate piyusot. Maybe there were 13 here, not one. Okay, let's see if we can bring a raya from here, from a brayta. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo aya pious lemachta. There was not a pious for bringing in, this is not talking about this pious, it's talking about the pious for the keteres. So there was no pious for the machata. So how did they decide which kohen would bring in the machata? The machata was the coals that were brought in to be put on the Mizbeach Hazav, onto which the kohen was zochet with the keteres, he would put the keteres. How does that person become selected? Well, he was selected because the kohen who was zochet in the keteres, he turns to the guy next to him and he says, okay, you come in with me and you carry the machata, right? So obviously, we can be yotze with one pious, and that gives us the two that are going to be actually doing it, right? Okay, so apparently there is no need to do a separate one for each one. No, that's different. That's because the machata and the keteres are basically the same avail. Hello, Barnea. So that's different because, I mean, think about the Avedas HaKeteres on Yom HaKippurim. One person does that. Only one person, the Kohen Gadol himself, does the Keteres and the Machata. Not look, I mean, it's hard, I understand, but it is basically one Aveda, which, by the way, accounts for the strange fact that why does it say the Kohen says to the Kohen next to him? Well, what if he doesn't say to the Kohen next to him? I thought when we select with a pious, it just goes automatically around the circle in a counterclockwise direction. So why is he talking? So the point over there, as Tosis explains, is because if he really wants to do the whole thing on his own, he can, if he knows how to do it. I mean, it's very difficult, but it can be done, obviously, because Kohen Gadol does it on Yom Kippur. So therefore, this is a different thing. That is called one Aveda. Maybe for the other things, there's nothing in common between the guy who's going to be Sheikh at the Tamid and the guy who's going to be cleaning out the Menorah, right? So, okay, maybe those things actually do require separate piyusot, and just don't go around the circle. Actually, Ikari Amri, some say just the opposite proof as I bring from here, that they start off at the beginning. So if Rabbi Yehuda says we do not have a separate pious, that's dafka in this case, that we do not have a separate pious. Why? Because it's chada avedahi. That's his point that Rabbi Yehuda is making. But if it came to any of the other things, such as the 13 different steps that we have over here, maybe Shar Avodot would require separate payasot, and that seems to be the mashmaut. So that's your proof. Apparently we need separate payasot. And in this version, we say, not necessarily. It could well be that we cannot be medayik that we would require a payas. But the point over here is that I would have thought that machta is different and would require. Why is that? The exact opposite approach than the first one. Because I need to know, machta tzrichel, I need to know that even the machata does not require a separate one. Because I might have thought, look, everybody is waiting to have something to do with the Ketoret. I mean, there's only two times a day that you can get into the Ketoret. I mean, to do any of the other Avedas, you know, I mean, you can do any of those. You can do Zrika Saddam, you can do Allah Sevor. I mean, there's thousands of Korbanos a day, so you won't do the Talmud, you'll do a private Korban. But the point is, when it comes to the Ketoret, there's no such thing as a private Ketoret. I mean, this may be the only chance in my life that I'm ever going to get to do the Ketoret. And as we'll see later on, we don't even allow anybody that was one Zerch in the Ketoret, he's not allowed to try again. So I might think, you know, I mean, there's a tremendous demand for people to do the Keteres, not to mention the fact that if you get a chance to do that Keteres, you can get rich because of the Pasuk, Yasimu Ketorah Ba'apecha, Kalil al mizbechecha, and then it says Baruch Hashem chelo. That means that you're going to get rich. So people really want to be zocheh in this, and therefore it's only right to make a separate pious for the guy who wants to have the connection to it by bringing in the machta. And that's perfectly understandable. Kamashmon, even so, we only do one pious for both. But for the other things, for sure, we only do one pious for both. So therefore, there's no way to bring a raya in one direction or another over here. Okay, let me see. I got a 100% right, and I'd be able to argue with this. Toshma, in the Braisa, Rebbe Chiya says, Lo lechol avodah ve'avodah mefaisim, beferish. We do not do a separate pious for each one of these 13 steps. The Kohen, that is Zocha in the Tumid, the next 12 Kohanim down, because there were 13 people as we saw in total, the next 12 Kohanim down are defined by him. So we simply count in the order of the Mishnah, the Avedas, Shema Amina. Okay, that proves it for sure, that there's just one actual pious, one guy who's holding his mitznefet, and everybody else moves down from him when moves down from the guy that it lands on and continues on. Pious Hasheni. Okay, so what did it say in the Mishnah? It said that we talk about the Shochet, the Zorek, but why didn't we talk about the Mikabel? So obviously, either one, number one or number two is going to be doing the Kabbalah. So which one is it? Iboilu, Mi Mikabel. Is number one, that is, the Shochet, is he the Mikabel or the Dam? And, I mean, maybe the reason that we would do it that way would be because if you're going to tell me that the one who's going to be Zorek the Dam is also Mikabel the Dam, I mean, again, we have to take into consideration the excitement and the way in which people have been waiting for this moment for years, possibly, you know. So maybe because of that excitement, he's in such a state of heightened intensity of getting that dam to do the zrika, he may just not have the patience to sit and to be mekabel all of the dam. I mean, oh, come on already. Remember that the mitzvah, I mean, it's not ma'akev, but the mitzvah of the chatchila is supposed to be mekabel called dam ha'nefesh. So, you know, he gets himself whatever, plenty of dam for Zrika, and he goes and he runs and he does the Zrika. So we don't want to give that job to him because he won't do the Kabbalah the way it really ought to be done, which is enough patience to be Kabbalah the dam. Or maybe the other way around. Maybe Dafke, he is the one who should be the Zorek, because if you're going to tell me that the Kohen who does the Shechita also does the Kabbalah, then, I mean, you can't be absolutely sure that that's going to be a Kohen. So in a strange situation where a czar was doing the shechita, which is kosher, I mean, then if it's part of the norm that the guy who does the shechita does the Kabbalah, then that czar is going to be doing an aveda, because mi Kabbalah ve'elech is the aveda sekuhuna. So maybe we bedafka want to avoid that kind of thing, right? Tashma. Okay. Here is your raya. It says in the Braisa that Ben Katin himself was a Kohen Gadol, and he extended the kiyor. The kiyor originally only had two spouts. So what he did is he made shneimasar dad le kiyor. So he had 12 spigots on the kiyor added. It's a total of 12. Because that way, the 12 kohanim that needed to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in order to take care of the tamid, all of the avodas that we listed here, that they could all be mekachim yadayim v'raglayim bevat achat. Wait a minute. What do you mean 12? Didn't we say 13? Ah, but remember that the first one was shechita, and shechita is not an aveda. It's kosher even bizarre, and therefore the one who's doing the shechita really does not require kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So because of that, he only put in 12 spigots. Now, if you're going to tell me that the shochet is the one who does the Kabbalah, then we would need 13 spigots, because then the shochet actually is going to be doing Aveda. So why did Bar Katin only make 12? There you go. Obviously, there would have been Tleisar having. Ela Shmamina, it's got to be the Zorek who's Mekabel the Dam, not the shochet Shmamina. Absolutely, that is a beautiful proof. The truth is that it's very clear from the Mishnah in Tamid. I mean, if you don't need to go. I mean, yes, it's very cute, your proof, and I like it. But I mean, just read the Mishnah in Tamid, for heaven's sakes. It says, Shachat ha-shochet v'kibel ha-mikabel u'bala lizrok. This is beferish. The shochet did the shechita, and the guy who was going to be the zorek, was Mekabel and then runs to bring it onto the Mizbeach. It's obviously the same person as Kibel Mekabel Uvalo Lizrok. It's he who is going to be Zorek. Shema Amina, you don't need the Raya from Bakatin. You have a Raya from the Mishnah. Now, getting to the last part that Rabbi Barnea questioned. Amar ben Azai, Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, this is the wrong order. And you've talked about 9 Kohanim that are going to bring it in a particular order. It's the wrong order. The correct order would be to look at the animal while it's walking in its lifetime, and each specific part that goes first, that is what you bring. Okay, so now we've actually got very different approaches, and they're all the different approaches are together in this braisa. So turn her up on it. First, the braisa begins with Ben Azai. So what does Ben Azai mean when he says Derech Hilucho? Well, first of all, we start with the Rosh and the Regel. Now, the idea over there is that we're going to have a special limud, as we're going to see later on, that the Rosh has to come first no matter what direction you're going on. So that's the Rosh is not mentioned first here because it's the first to walk. And we also have a clear Raya later on in the Gemara that everyone is made of, that the regel, the right regel, has to come with the Rosh. We'll see why that's true. It is not part of the argument. Everyone agrees to this point because it has nothing to do with any order. It's just the way that it has to be done, as we'll see. So then that would be number one. And then number two, you've got the chazeh and the geirah. Well, of course, that's how the animal walks. I mean, it's walking with the neck and with the continuation of the neck, which is the chazeh, which includes, by the way, all of the various things that will be together with the neck, which includes those organs. So you're going to be talking about bringing along the liver and the heart and the lungs. All of that would come together with this, with the chazeh and geirah. So then you've got the shtei yadayim. Yes, of course. Then you've got the two sides, yes, of course. And then you've got the hind section, which is the oketz and the regel that's left on the left. Okay, that's one approach. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree. Some have Rabbi Yossi Aglili here, which we'll see later on, means we'll have to change the gears also. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Derech hefsheto ayakarev. Actually, that's not the correct order. The correct order is the same way that we do the hefshet. And remember, the way we do the hefshet is we hang up the animal from a hind leg, and then we do the skinning, right? So what is that? Well, here's how that would go. Yes, of course, Rosh Varegel, that's a given. As I said, that's nothing to do with the order. So Rosh Varegel, and then we move to the back, because that's how it's hanging, and the first thing that we're going to be skinning over here is the oketz and the regel. Then we get to the Shtei Defanos, then we get to the Shtei Yadayim, and then we get to the Chasev HaGeirah, which is basically the exact opposite of the way that Ben Azai had it. But there's yet another shita, Rabbi Akiva shita. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the way that we do it is the derech that we do the nituach. Because remember, there's a mitzvah of nituach, and that's the butchering. And that was done in a very specific order. Of course, the Rosh Varegel, yeah, that's always, that's a given. And then we've got the Shtei HaYadayim, the Chazeh, and the Geirah. And each one of these pieces is handed to the Kohen as we butcher the animal. And then they wait until they're all ready, and then they go in the correct order. So we have the Rosh Varegel, the Shtei HaYadayim, the Chazeh, and the Geirah, the Shtei Defanos, the Oiketz Varegel, and that way they're all coming up to the Mizbeach in the same way that the butcher is handing them the parts. And then we have yet another one, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so this apparently is the if you learned Rabbi Yossi Aglili before, so then, again, the question is, the Dikduke Sofrim changed this one to be Rabbi Yossi. So there's a little bit of confusion over here, that actually it was brought up according to the chashivut, the ilui of the meat. And what do I mean by that? Ketzaderech ilui. Well, I mean, obviously, the Rosh and the Regel, that's given. I'm not talking about that. So the chazeh and the geirah, that's the next level up. That's very chashiv of meat, breast meat. Then the shteyat fanot, that's where you got all your steaks and everything. Then you've got a oketz varegel. And finally, you have shtey adayim, which don't have that much meat on it. Asks Rabbi Yossi, so this again, the question is this the Rabbi Yossi? This was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who was arguing on Rabbi Yossi. So asks Rabbi Yossi, Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yossi, why is that the correct order? The Pasuk says, Kol netach tov yarech v'katef. Uh-oh. This means, this is it. Yecheskel is talking about over here, what would be the more chashev parts of the animal. So the best cuts, netach tov, the best cuts when you would bring it up to the Mizbeach should be first the yarech and then the katef. So then that means that you're telling me the yarech is more chashev. He should have put that first. Rabbi Yossi, when he talks about the regel and he has that after the other parts, it should have been in the before it, because here you're saying that the yarech is more chashev. No, that pusik is referring to an animal that doesn't have much meat, because what Yecheskel was talking about over there was cruel people, Rishayim, who would take away even kol netach tov from a poor man. So a poor man doesn't have a very high quality animal, so it's not really coming to tell me the best cuts. It means for the poor guy who's being ripped off, you're taking the best cuts. But his behema itself is not a good behema, because he's talking about a poor man. So enochinami, if there's not much fat on that animal, so then the thigh, which has more muscle on it, is going to have more meat. Okay, now, this gives us four different approaches, none of which is the one that's in the Mishnah. So what's going on? So where does the Mishnah come from? Omar Rava, the truth is that our Mishnah really holds like Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah goes by the superior cut. So Bein Tana Didan, Ubein Rabbi Yossi, they both follow the best cut. So Batar Iluya de Bisra Azlina. The question is, for the Mizbeach, how do we define the best cut? So our Tana Mar is Azil Batar Ivra de Bisra. He talks about what has the thickest meat, the most meat. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is Azil Batar Shamna de Bisra. He goes according to what has the most fatty meat, which was always, as Reb Barnea will be happy to explain to you, you Omega 4 people, that this is a reference to the best portion, and that would be Dafka, the fattiness of the meat, not by our modern myth about that being the bad meat. Now, every last one of these shitas, all five of them, have the regel coming up together with the Rosh. Now, why in the world would we bring the right leg together with the head? Why is that a given? That's because, Mishum Dereisha Nefishe Be'atzamot Korva Regel Ba'adei. The head has almost nothing in it but bone. And it's not very proper. We'll see, we have no choice but to bring the regel, to bring the head up first, because it says so in the pasuk. But just to bring a head is not really offering very much. It's more decorative. And because of that, we bring up a nice large piece of meat with it, which is carve a regel ba'adei. So we want to bring the regel with it, and that's why we choose the right one, just because it's always more chashev, and that has a lot of meat on it. Okay, but I understand, but why does everybody agree that you have to bring the head up first? So, the kulei alma miat rosh karev bereisha, where does that come from? Oh, that's a pasuk, the Tanya. Minayin l'rosh v'peder, shekodmim l'kol ha'evarim. How do we know that the very first thing that we have to bring up before we bring up anything else is because it says b'feirish in the pasuk? And that pasuk says that we should go in that order. The et rosho, the et pidro, and then arach. So that's what the pasuk says. V'nitach otol l'nitachav, the et rosho, the et pidro, the arach ha-kohen. So if the kohen is being marich, then he has to do it in that order. That at least is a given in the pasuk. So therefore, once we know that, we explain why does we brought the regel with it. So that is the pasuk, but what do we do with the other pasuk? It's weird because, I mean, the pasuk before said, "Varchu b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim et ha-tintachim, et ha-rosh ve-et ha-poder." So why are we repeating this inyan of the Rosh and the Putter in the second Pusik. I mean, I understand we darshan why it is that we need the Rosh, because I would have thought that the Rosh is not included because of the fact that we had already cut it off for Shashchit, and it wasn't included in the Nitachim. So we needed to know that. Fine. But why mention the Putter again? That is Likud Tanya. Ketzad haya oseh, the Putter must come with the Rosh. Why? Because it's not polite to bring a dissevered head, is it? So you want to cover over the Beis HaShechita, which is an open wound and it's covered with blood. We cover that with the Putter, which is the thick fat, the abdominal fat, and we put that over the Beit HaShechita to cover it. V'zehu derech kavod shomala. And that is considered to be an act of honoring the Aliyas HaRosh.